Welcome to another episode of Competitive Edge, powered by Esports Bet, where you can predict alongside us. Remember, they have their World's Prediction Series going, where you can win up to $300,000 by entering the contest with DJT, their proprietary token. It's free, by the way, guys. You can get more DJT 50x bonus by depositing crypto, by joining their Discord server, messaging the mods. They'll give you thousands of DJT for free as well. As you advance up the tiers, you'll win more money. It's as easy as that. So really fun to predict alongside us. And we've been doing really well, as it turns out, especially this last week was pretty, I would say, hilarious in terms of how well we did.
Because we did the watch party, we almost got 3 for 3. We almost did it, and sadly, that EG 100 Thieves game got out of control.
Yeah, sadly. But yeah, the EG 100 Thieves game was a bit unfortunate, especially because that's where our biggest wager was. But as we look, I have some of the results up here. We were way up because we successfully predicted CLG over Team Liquid, so really big return on that one overall because the odds were 2.8. Mad Lions over Vitality, we had 1.7 odds on that one. Very good. XL, 1.8 odds over Misfits. So we hit a lot of these ones that were either underdogs or very close to 50-50 in terms of the odds. Obviously, EG didn't work out. We did put a flyer on Immortals over Team Liquid. That didn't work out either. And what you're not seeing, guys, were some of the wagers I made on the Monty and Wolf show. So we had two bets on KT. One of them was to beat Nongshim, and the other one was to win both of their games last week. And we cleared another about 2,500 to 3,000 DJT because both of those were wins as well. So we're up. Like,
didn't you bet on Cloud9 over Golden Guardians? Isn't that true?
Yeah, I did that? Actually.
Because that's what was hilarious about that, if you remember, was that was the one where, because of the way the draft went and the game was going, we were all actually like super invested in Golden Guardians. Yeah. And then I realized like part way, like, why am I getting mad that they're losing? Like, I want the other team to win. Like, we bet on Cloud9 in this one. So like, we actually ended up even working out for us.
Yeah, here are the other ones we made at the watch party. I pulled it up right now. Sadly, Zabutin and I got all of our props on Dragon Herald and First Blood in CLG versus Team Liquid wrong, but we made up for it by, again, an underdog, IMT beating Immortals, and then Cloud9 won as well. So we were up a lot, especially those KT bets were really, really big. It was like I said, 2,500 to 3,000 overall. So pretty massive. So if you're following our advice, you too would have done well last week. And we do put some of the bets, the wagers down here. We do put some of the predictions down on the watch parties. We do on some of the shows as well. So it's kind of sprinkled everywhere. But yeah, we're just trying to be honest with you guys about how we're doing. Last week, we were a little down. This week, we're way up. That's just how it goes.
By the way, we're actually entering one of my favorite metas in League of Legends right now.
Oh boy,
it's going to seem really weird to you guys. Like, what do you mean by that? Here's the thing, Monty. As you might know, obviously, I am an aficionado of the boring mage players. Not really because they're boring. It's because it's a style. Like, I actually prefer the term control mage. It is like it's a way of it's about controlling the lane, controlling the map, right? So what I've always loved about that style of player is, It essentially, it is the thinking man's way of playing the game, isn't it? Because what happens is every pleb loves the fireworks. They love the assassin player who goes in on the silence and he's just hitting all the chains and all his health's going back up and all the crazy numbers. But what I like is this. I like the sort of inverse of that, Monty. I like when all those people with all those dashes, all those season 11, season 9, season 10 chaps, I love it when they jump in, but it's an Azir Talia meta and they just get their head absolutely smashed in while a mage just literally kites you while doing all result into your face. I love that because all those fucking annoying players in League that you hate, they get their comeuppance once. There's only one meta ever that punishes those types of champions, and this is it. Because if you saw that game, the Cloud9 game, it was basically like my joke on one of our shows was, it's like, it's not like Jensen actually carried, like if you saw the scoreline, it's like they were trying to put their heads in the barrel of his gun. Like, he couldn't miss essentially. Like, it was ridiculous, wasn't it? Like, it was just him hitting the ult all the time. Like, what is that?
Well, it's even funnier because he couldn't even do Talia things. Right, like
he's trapped.
Fudge just inted the top lane on Kale, and then all his bot lane summoners were blown, so he couldn't like ult anywhere. He was just sitting there, and eventually they just walked into him enough times that he won the game. Yeah, it's true. I mean, his scoreline was good. His scoreline was very good in that game. We're going to talk about some of the different regions around the world and some interesting matchups from a gameplay perspective and from a prediction perspective with good odds this week. Probably the banger of the week is definitely going to be in the LCK because it's the rematch of T1 and Gen G. We'll get to that in a bit. But Also, I mean, there's some other really good games, especially LEC, Mad Lions versus XL might be the two best teams at the current point in time.
Two finalists, for all we know,
yeah, going head to head against each other. And then in LCS, obviously, going to be some sloppy matches for sure. But there are some undervalued teams and overvalued teams, especially like I'm just going to keep taking against Team Liquid because the odds are just too fucking good. Like I get half of them. Right when it, you know, if I get half of them right with these kind of odds, then the upsets are going to be crazy. Last yes. week we did 2.8 on CLG over Team Liquid and hit it on that one. So really potentially good value there because Team Liquid looks really terrible. And conversely, CLG looks kind of okay, so they're getting some good odds as well. So let's start with the LEC though. for reasons, Thorin, that I still don't understand. People want Vitality to win these games. And Vitality versus XL.
They never believe in XL, you'll notice. They never believe in XL.
What is with this?
Putting them as an underdog is mental this season, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not, because here's the thing, you're going to think I mean at the beginning of the split. I'm talking about the last like 5 weeks. Every time I get them as a fucking underdog somehow, it's mental.
Yeah, and especially after they had the 0-2 week and then they bounced back last week. It's like, bet against Team Liquid and bet on XL. Because the odds are just too good. Vitality and XL right now are nearly dead even in the 50-50. 1.992 for Vitality to 1.842 for XL. XL is a pretty big favorite in this matchup. Like, nobody knows what's going on with Vitality. They still haven't fixed their problems. They're more or less, it seems like, maybe like 35, 40% of the time they have a good early game. Otherwise, they get slammed. XL has been much cleaner.
They're clean as fuck, mate. Yeah, they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. Easy.
They look like they have a really good read on the meta. It's suiting their team's play style extremely well.
You can
with
imagine, Nukeduck looked great on the Tillier as well, as you'd imagine, of course. Yeah.
So I just look at these XL odds, and I just want to keep on picking them because of how good they are. And like this by all rights, should not be a 50-50 matchup. So... I mean,
the only factor I can even come up with for Vitality is if Vitality is indeed fielding the Bo guy, the Chinese jungler, and somehow he's just going to run riot. Because I will say, like, I was watching some of the clips of him playing solo queue. He is unbelievable, mate. Like, he's just one of those, like, psycho junglers that just 24-7 paths to a gank, like, and stays, greeds with health. Like pretty sure I could easily see this guy being amazing. But the problem is, like, what fucking communication is he going to have? He's going to drop him into a team. Like, he's not fucking, like Arnold Schwarzenegger out of an old 80s movie, is he? Like, that's the work with the team, mate. Whereas, like, the one thing you have to say about XL is, like, the cohesion of that team is very impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
I just can't believe we keep getting them at these odds, though. Like, man, it's like people crazy. Just look at the name of the team, not the players in it, isn't it? It's mad.
It's all right, though. People tell me it's not a super team, and yet people continue to predict them as if they are a super team.
Yeah.
It's strange how that works. okay, so what I'm going to do... We're going to take XL.
Okay, there's another. I'll tell you another stylistic mad mismatch with those two teams. The fucking bot lanes, mate. XL bot lanes, like, contender for best in the league. The Vitality bot lanes, like, have they even met each other's the joke? Like, they're terrible, aren't they? Like, they never get it going. They're always behind the die. It's stupid.
Yeah. I'm putting down 2,000 right away onto XL.
This is a good one.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good one to me. The other big match that's going to be happening this week, and probably the biggest match, is going to be Mad Lions versus XL. This one is obviously much harder to call, but Mad Lions a pretty heavy favorite. No, I wouldn't say pretty heavy, like mildly heavy favorite.
You mean Fnatic, right? I think you just
said
XL.
No, Mad Lions XL. This one.
Oh, it wasn't Mad Lions XL?
Okay. Yeah, so Mad Lions, so 1.697 to 2.124 for XL. Now, I consider this match really a 50-50.
I see what you mean, right? Yes.
Yeah, stylistically, these teams, they both have had pretty strong early games. Maybe Mad Lions has had a bit stronger of an early game recently. Mad Lions, however, I will say, also has a bigger tendency to potentially throw in the late game. Sometimes they get overly aggressive. So I think that maybe the early advantage will go over to Mad Lions, but again, will they actually close out the game in a clean fashion will be the question. So if I think this is 50-50 and I can get 2.124 for XL, maybe we just take the underdog here because they're absolutely capable of winning and we just don't put quite as much on it in case things go south.
Yes, I mean, if I didn't know the odds, I would say this is like a just a preference one. If you think Mad Lions are slightly better, take Mad. So if the odds are that, like, if there's that much of an underdog for XL, I think XL is just the one to take. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and put 1,000 DJT on XL right here. So half of the previous prediction we made, just because, again, I'm not super confident about this one. You could easily see either team winning. I think if these teams play a best of five, it's like a 3-2 probably. They seem really well matched at this point in time. So I'm not sure, but with these odds, I think you gotta pick XL in this scenario, unless you have some really keen insight onto why Mad Lions is going to absolutely dominate them, which just doesn't seem to be the case in the matches we've seen against other opponents. I'm still high on both of these teams. They are looking right now like the two best teams in Europe overall. Especially with G2, Fnatic, these teams faltering pretty significantly, losing to pretty bad opponents. Misfits obviously not in the same realm as many of these teams at this point in time. So it does feel like, you know, Rogue also would probably be way up there with these two teams, but outside of Rogue, it's like, it's basically a top three and everybody else, it feels like.
By the way, as just a random aside, shout out to all those people who at the end of every split get their votes, media, pros, coaches, and they make their votes for MVP, rookie of the split. And what they do is they never actually like take responsibility and think of the whole split. They just think of like the last four games they've watched and then just do all the votes. Because this is how hilarious the LEC is, Monty. On the one hand, I'm almost certain this is who won it if you go back and look. Did they not vote fucking Schlatten, rookie of the split last split? Spoiler, he's now benched. He's not even in his team anymore. He was never even that good in the first split. He was just playing Lee Sin. That was it. Like, yeah. That's one of the most egregious ones. Because here's the thing, right? In this game, you have the real rookie of the split, as I'm concerned, the fucking Unforgiven guy. That guy is a monster for Mad Lions, guys. And spoiler, he also just plays Draven out of his pocket. Like, what more could you want? Like, the meta's hitting this guy in the face. Like, he's fucking mega. That's a legit rookie right there, man. That guy's good.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to Kaiser about how they're getting him involved with the team as well on Summoning Insight. If you guys missed that, go check it out. Because
he basically implied, it's on this channel. He basically implied, like, actually, if they'd have sort of known how good he was, they probably would have just played to him more, right? Like, they'd maybe give him, like, too little resources or something, yeah.
Yeah, so they're really, like, dumping the resources into him now, which is effective in the current meta. He's capable of playing these hyper carries, does look super legit. Especially with Niski being so selfless in the mid lane, things are really working out for Mad Lions. So obviously, if you think Mad Lions are going to win, you take Mad Lions there, because the odds for Mad Lions are still pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so they are still pretty good, almost at 1-7, but just because they're slightly better for XL, that's why we're taking it. Not because we think XL is definitively a favorite within the matchup. So let's move on to LCK. This match is one of the most consequential in the entire world over
this one ain't even about few weeks. Here's the thing. You have to set the stage how we used to back in the day. Before the LPL existed, so back in the day, LCK was just the de facto best region. This would essentially be a match for number one status in the world. That's the point of this game. In fact, essentially, whoever wins this could be the world champion at the end of the year. That's a real possibility. And obviously the cool thing about LCK and LPL is we get a real series. It's not a BO1. So sadly, though, this is the downside, Monty. There is a track record with this matchup, which goes like this. It doesn't matter how good Gen G look, and spoiler, they're looking amazing as usual. It doesn't matter how much T1 looks like they could lose to any amount of team out there, but gets away with it against the odd underdog team. Somehow, I can't tell if it's Gen G as a team, because Gen G is the old team even when BDD used to be like this, or just Chofi specifically. These guys, like, it's like in their brain, they're just not allowed to beat Faker or something, isn't it? There's something. It's one of those ones where like I get that vibe of like in the LCS, every time Bjergsen looks shit, I'm always like, right, finally they're going to overtake him. And then they all just in him. I'm like, how is he doing this? This is some cursed monkey paw shit. So that's the problem, Monty. I want to build this as it's going to be the best game ever. It's going to be the game of the year. The problem is I do have this horrible vibe that like Gen G is going to fuck it up somehow again.
Yeah.
I want to believe they are the Korean Razor Kid for sure with Gen G.
So here's the thing about this matchup. This has already been played, as many of you guys know, earlier this year, and it was win.
Supposed to be won by Gen G that time as well.
We did, in fact, on this show, put a prediction onto Gen G, which failed.
You had to. If you looked at this, if people don't know, coming into that game, that is who you had to pick to win that game. Come on.
So what's crazy is that, We did make that prediction. And if you watch the series, game one was very in favor of Gen G. The Poppy gets banned in game two. It's a really close game two where Faker ends up stealing this Baron by using Spellbook Lissandra, TPing and changing his yeah. summoner to Smite, coming exactly. over the wall, and then stealing the Baron, which was just ridiculous.
Predictor wouldn't expect that to happen right once. Yeah, no, where, some bullshit, yeah, I know.
You know, it wasn't like if Gen G gets the Baron, they definitively win the game, but they probably win the game. That Baron. It was an amazing play, though. And then the third game was very one-sided in favor of T1. So we had one hotly contested game sandwiched between two one-sided affairs. These teams have proven that they're pretty equal. They have really different styles right now of play, which means that it's fun to watch. And also, we're probably going to see a lot of different kind of pocket bans. Like, you know, Owner doesn't really play Poppy and Peanut hasn't been playing Lee Sin. So like the jungle pool preferences are pretty different overall. Some of the mid lane pickups have been, I guess, a little bit different. I don't know if you can let Chovy have the Sylas. Like, you probably can't. And I wouldn't be as confident with Faker on Sylas, right? But some of the champions, like the Lissandra, have kind of drifted out of the preferential meta since their last meeting. So it's really tough to predict this one. And on the Monty and Wolf show, Wolf thinks T1 is going to win, which I thought was interesting because
I think the intangibles suggest it, like we said.
Yeah. So to put Gen G's current record in perspective, guys, they've only lost three games. So not three matches. They lost one match to T1, which means they lost two games to T1. They only lost one other game.
Close Baron throw. Exactly.
They only lost one other game, and that was to Damwon. They won the series 2-1. So they've only lost three individual games and one series, and two of those games, obviously, with the one series are to the same opponent in T1. Otherwise, they have swept everyone else. They've completed their first round robin, right? It's in a really impressive run from Gen G, and I have to agree with you, Thorin. There must be something about T1 that gets in their heads or makes them nervous. Something, because they should, by all rights in the eye test, T1 is dropping games to some of the worst teams in the league. Yet there is this clutch factor to T1 that you just can't account for in terms of analysis rationally. You just have to be like, well, I guess they're going to pull off some hero play. They're going to see some angle on their team composition and find that win condition and then just do it amazingly. That's the power of T1. They're very creative on the fly.
They seem to play to the level of the opponent, if you notice.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. You got to say
that. Because as you say, they don't even have close games against like teams that are like fourth from bottom or whatever. Like, whereas the difference is, as you say, this is why it's ridiculous as a matchup. Gen G stomps every other team, basically. Doesn't even just beat them, just stomps them. So, like, on paper, you're supposed to, with the MMA math, go, of course, they beat T1 this time. Here's the problem, though, Monty. T1's the underdog odds, though.
Here's the thing.
Believe in Gen G?
No. When I did the prediction, Gen G was the underdog. So the odds have shifted over the last few days. Okay. So if you guys look at it right here, so below me, you can see the current odds, which are 1.988 for T1 and 1.794 for Gen G. But I already placed a prediction right here where it was 1.92 for Gen G. So I did get them as the underdog. Okay. These odds are probably going to shift a little bit over the next few days, guys. So I put 1,000. Again, I'm not confident, especially after the last time when I got burned. But this match is really, really interesting. Gen G is now, I think, rightfully a slight favorite in this series. And against any other opponent, you expect Gen G to just smash them. But T1 has their number for whatever reason, but I think the meta is more in Gen G's favor right now, especially as we move towards this hyper carry meta. And people will point out that Gumayushi, of course, he has 77%+ win rates on Aphelios and Jinx. But if you've been watching his Aphelios games recently, he hasn't been as good at these hyper scaling carries as Ruler has been. His positioning's been a bit off, and he's not getting the same level of protection that he did earlier in the spring. So as we move the meta in this direction, I think it's probably favorable to Gen G because their bot lane is playing a lot better at the current point in time. And that matters a lot. It matters a lot. So,
and he goes without saying the Chovy firepower is as ridiculous as you'd expect. Like, that guy is fucking mega.
Yeah, he's still incredibly late dominant. He's the number one mid laner in terms of like CS differential, gold difference at 15. He gets really big advantages. He's become a much better team player over the course of this year as well. So this is Gen G's time, man. It's finally arrived. Like, they have to get this. And, you know,
that's sad. I even think the same thing. Like, this is how you know it's a razor cake, because I want to eat it so bad.
I know, right? Well, here's the thing, Thorin. If they lose this and they have this mental block, I think they lose in the playoffs to them as well. Like, they need to overcome this shit now. They need to get out of their own heads.
This is
now.
The canary in the coal mine, guys. Yeah. Listen, we promise if they lose this one, we're out.
I'm not. Honest. I'll still do it. Pick Gen G in the playoffs.
Anyway, that's another thing we should
incorrigible.
Do. Even though this is like an aside thing, there's another thing we should do in the future. We should do something like make like commemorative chips. That's like how long you've gone without picking like roll to win a split. So if I can go like two splits, I get one. We should do some joke like that, like some like merchandise. That would be fire. Because you could have one obviously for KT that was like, I went like 10 splits or something, you know, like betting on them every time.
Hey man, I got my parlay of KT winning both games last week at 1.9 odds. It was sick. It was true. So yeah, that's kind of an in-depth look at that matchup.
As we said though, don't watch it just for betting though. Watch it just because it'll actually be potentially a banger game. It could be really, really good.
The last
League
series
Legends.
Was really good. It was really fun.
There's another reason to watch. If you're one of those people who's watching like LEC and LCS going, this bet is boring. The only players are Zera and Corki. Like, spoiler, they don't in LCK, mate. Like, you will see some full-on like slap the dick of the silence out and start monstering. But you'll see those games. You might see a cheeky Vex or something get thrown out, mate. You might. You never know.
Also, I've seen it. If you guys watched Gen G last year and they were slow and boring, they are really aggressive this year. They are super fun to watch. Obviously, they changed every player but Ruler, so you would expect a different style.
Oh, and by the way, remember, it's a fucking Kalista meta. Rulers and their fucking team. So, again, they're a team, by the way. If they just get their picks, they can stomp the game for sure. For sure. Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about LCS. LCS is incredibly difficult to predict. Obviously, the EG that we thought was going to do well, upset by 100 Thieves. I hate 100 Thieves because you just never know how they're going to perform from week to week. Yep. Some days, I guess Abadage learned how to use his hands again. Well, couldn't predict that one, unfortunately. He forgot how to use them for a long time, but now he's good at his ear again, I guess. So I'm just going to stay away from
him. He is definitely what I call like a Jekyll and Hyde player. Like, yeah. I don't think even he knows if he's good. So it'll be good that you there, mate.
Yeah.
You never can.
So CLG, I think, is continuously underrated, especially against some of these mid-table teams, even as an upset. Like we said, last week we predicted them successfully at 2.8 odds over Team Liquid, an allegedly better roster, although probably not really at the current point in time. Now, CLG also lost last week. They got absolutely slammed by EG, but we expect that. They also had a really hard week against both of those teams. Meanwhile, CLG, coming up against Golden Guardians this week, the odds are relatively close to 50-50, which is 1.7 for CLG. I think CLG probably has a pretty significant advantage over this iteration of Golden Guardians. I think over time, they're just going to get better and better and better, especially with this meta and their ability to rely on a player like Luger to carry this roster. So for me, I think CLG's going to be doing well. I don't see a lot of advantages for Golden Guardians.
Golden Guardians, remember, just changed jungler. They brought in River from Dignitas. So I don't know if he's coming into the starting lineup, but that's like a transfer that happened.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I actually think he's a decent player, like Pride Soccer and whatever, he's just whatever. But the problem with that is, like, Golden Guardians is a team where, like, that game that we watched at the watch party is a perfect example of Golden Guardians. There are so many reasons in the team to actually think, like, hey, not a bad squad, like, this player's good, like, hey, they're in a decent spot in the game, but they don't know what they're doing with that game. They're not going to fucking, like, close the game out. They don't have clean macro. Like, they just look a bit lost to me, you know. They've got some half-decent players, though.
Yeah.
CLG's actually a unit, though, to me. They're actually a real team.
Yeah, this game is probably, like, I would say 60% to CLG, but 1.7 odds are still very good.
That's good enough, yeah.
So put 1,500 DJT over onto this matchup. That feels about right in terms of my level of confidence. And I think you can keep taking CLG. I mean, honestly, like, the thing about CLG is they've got a match later in the week against Dignitas at 1.5. That seems pretty good as well. Like, CLG is a favorite, but they're not. I don't think they are reflected in how good they are. Remember that they're also, their schedule was very much front loaded in this round robin. So they've got a bunch of easy teams. So because of those losses against better teams, they're probably getting underrated a little bit, and they should be much stronger against the mid and lower table of the LCS. Finally,
listen, I've just looked actually, mate. Parler Fox was playing Talia in June. This guy was way ahead of the meta. Like,
yeah.
Because if you look, actually, again, that's another player. Like, he actually has a pretty decent champion pool. If people don't know, he not only plays like the Boar and Azir, he plays like Sylas and fucking Yorn and Yasuo. Like,
yep.
Yeah, this guy has a nice champion pool, mate.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. So yeah, you might want to say maybe I'll do a parlay on the Dignitas games and see if CLG can win both. I'll think about that. The other one, as we mentioned earlier, Team Liquid looks like they're in horrific condition right now. Yet they are favorites at 1.5 to 2.4 against Cloud9. And look, I'm not saying Cloud9's great. They're not. They can stumble pretty significantly, give away leads, lose in kind of stupid fashions. I'm not a big fan of their drafting right now and some of the Udyr playing they've been doing. But this is all to say that Team Liquid has been mega struggling. Their bot lane looks bad. And Cloud9's bot lane, probably better at this point in time, even though Zven
better than you'd expect. Yeah, considering one guy's a role swap. Yeah.
Yeah, Zven just role swapped. I think Jensen is at least playing more carry oriented champions than Bjergsen is, which gives them an additional threat. Fudge played quite clearly very, very badly last week against Golden Guardians, but they still managed to win the game because they just shot called and caught the throw from Golden Guardians correctly. They didn't really have any business winning that game, but they did. So I think they have the fortitude in order to do it. Blaber is a better jungler than Santorin, certainly mechanically, but also I think just in terms of overall abilities right now. So given that Berserker has been super good, like, I think if you can get Cloud9, just like we got CLG at 2.8, if you can get Cloud9 to 2.4 right now, you should be pretty happy with the odds.
So, I think Berserk is a pretty consistent carry in the LCS. The LCS doesn't have that many big star players. He looks pretty legit game to game, mate. Like, that guy clearly puts in the hours as well. You can see on the champions queue, he's always like in the top fucking 10 or whatever. So I think he's a good bet. And as you say, even though on paper, the bot lane of TL is supposed to be amazing, it's fucking Core JJ, multiple time MVP, handset. It looks terrible in the game. Yes. I even think Core JJ is like a fucking canary in the coal mine for this TL team, mate, because his game looks like it's tanking. It's actually really worrying.
Yeah, he hasn't really. It's just this team never has had really any synergy, I think is the issue. Now, if Fudge plays badly, Bwipo can carry the game. So the thing about Team Liquid is Bwipo is probably the best performing player on this roster right now. And so if Fudge is going to straight into lane, although maybe that was just disrespect against Golden Guardians, but if he's going to try and pull that again, then Bwipo could absolutely carry this team. So that's the one thing that gives me pause, but I think that was a one-off for Fudge, and I don't think that is...
Yeah, it could be. Here's what else, Spitball Light could have been a one-off. Because to be fair, it was against Licorice, who was the guy Fudge literally came up playing 1v1s against like two years ago. Like, that's basically his boy, so I'm sure they know inside out, like, and trying to get the edge on each other. So he might have just been getting a bit horny in that sense, trying to fuck with his former teammates, you know.
Yeah.
Also, the other reason I'll say as to why I think on paper there's an edge that people aren't looking at here is because think of the current meta, how powerful fucking jungle mid is. Mate, you might not like Jensen's level of form. It hasn't been great to begin the split, but like, I'll take the fucking Cloud9 jungle mid over the Team Liquid one right now.
Yeah.
The Team Liquid one's another one where it's like, of all the super team elements, that's another synergy that's never existed as far as I can tell. And remember, those players have played together in the past.
Right, on TSM. Many years,
but you wouldn't know it, would you? It's mental.
Yeah. And also, Bjergsen just really hasn't been stepping up to carry these games, both in terms of...
He's intentionally... Dude, even in draft, he is intentionally going into the support of one, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not like he's at the end in the last pick, oh, I'll just save the whole comp. He's like choosing to go for this path.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead, put 1,000 on C9. Because there's a very good return, obviously, on that. We did extremely well in a very similarly in very similar odds the last week. So we'll give that one a shot as well. I may just parlay the EG games real quick because EG is playing Immortals and they're playing FlyQuest this week. The FlyQuest game is clearly going to be the more dangerous one. But we will, we'll see what we're going to get some pretty good odds by parlaying this. So let me go ahead and pick some of these. So we'll parlay EG wins in both of these. And we'll put just a little bit on it, but we'll get 1.8 odds for EG to win both of these games.
I also think a tough thing for FlyQuest is, I think the tough thing for them as well is, like, they're sort of covered in the player strength if you look relative role for role. I think that's one of the problems they have in their team.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big issue. As complimentary as Dokla was about Phillip's development, he did, and I agree, like, rate impact number one right now. So we'll put 750 on the parlay for EG to win both of their games. Just because I have, outside of that 100 Thieves game, like, I still have a lot of confidence. EG looks very well prepared in terms of their draft. I also think because they're playing Immortals, and Immortals is another team that if you can get the preferable odds on, they are going to be a much better team going forward. That's why we did well predicting them against TSM this past week. So there's a possibility, I think, that Immortals pulls off some sort of mega upset, but probably not. And EG, they've had good drafts. I think they can focus more on FlyQuest because they're playing a worse team in Immortals this week in terms of their preparation. And you get almost 1.5 odds for EG on that. But together, the 1.8 makes it a little bit more attractive. So we'll see. But I agree. Pound for pound, you look at the roster of EG and you think, okay, basically every player is performing currently at a better level than their rival player. Maybe you could make some sort of argument that Tukui has had a slightly better split than Jojo Pien, but this also isn't the most mid lane focused meta in the universe.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure if that's going to be enough to tip it into FlyQuest's favor.
No, absolutely. And also, I've got to say, like, the Takui guy's like a fucking mage player as well. Like, it's not, he's just going to smurf for 1v9 the game, is he? Like, he has to go where his team goes on that one. So that's another reason why, one of the things in general is, anyone who plays against EG, but they're also trying to play Team League of Legends, they're going to be in for a bad time in LCS, in my opinion. EG's just been the best at that so far.
Yeah, and they've had some pretty significant draft advantages and research advantages when it comes to their opponents. So that's been going very, very well for them. All right, guys, those are the matches for this week. We will have a watch party for LEC this weekend, so be sure to follow our Twitch channel, Insight on Esports, for that one. And we'll be back with more episodes of Competitive Edge next week. See you then.